Now, if you have your Bibles, or like I said, in some churches these days, they have tablets, don't they? They're so modern. So they turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 is our reading this morning, and we'll be reading then from verse 1, and we'll read then to verse then, read to verse 30. It's a great portion of Scripture, John chapter 10. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This command have I received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. If you have your Bibles, turn to that portion we read together. I don't know what you're like when you have to start a conversation. I could even start one today with you from this pulpit. It's cold, isn't it? You begin to talk about the weather, and perhaps you mention what it's been like, terrible rain for those last number of days that we've had. And it's that actual reference I want us to take hold of this morning, where you find here in John chapter 10 and verse 22. Now, it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And if you think of the summer that we just had, it was like winter. It wasn't winter. It was like winter, but now it is winter. And when you have this reference here in John chapter 10, verse 22, it wasn't like winter, but it was winter where Jesus was ministering. He was under the porch there in the next verse of Solomon's porch. He was being protected from the elements. It was the rainy season, and he was conducting his ministry in that very place. And yet, you see, when the Holy Spirit came and penned these words through the Apostle John, it wasn't that the Holy Spirit just wanted to make reference to the time of the year that it was. And we know that because there it is in verse then 22. It was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem. And the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem always takes place this week. It's either this week or the next week, the 2nd of December. So you know that it was definitely going to be winter. It wasn't going to be changed. It was always the same time of year. And so the Holy Spirit wants to highlight something to us. Not only, you see, the very fact that it was then at that season, but perhaps actually the spiritual fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he came to minister, he was confronted in those days with great darkness. He was confronted with a great hardness of people's hearts, and he was confronted with the hostility which, as we know, was around him. And that's actually not far-fetched. When you begin to read John's Gospel, for example, when Jesus came, or Nicodemus came to Jesus, when? At night. And you say, well, what's the reference to that? Well, it was that Nicodemus came at a certain time of the day. It was night time. But it's also something else, is it not? In John's Gospel, there is night. And now is the night which is upon us. And it speaks, as you do in some of those hymns, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. And it speaks of that spiritual condition that Nicodemus was in. He was in a darkness, and he was ignorant. He had no idea of the state of his spiritual standing. And when you come, let me tell you, it's one of those figures of speech. Sometimes if I ask people, how did it go in chapel today? Freezing, freezing. They had no heating on. But it may not just be that the heating wasn't on. As you know, you can go to certain places, it can chill you to the bone. Chill you to the bone. And you say it was just a coldness which took place. And so you've got this reference that, well, the Holy Spirit pens, you see, in the very life. And I want to tell you three things of the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us, to tell us something of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes and he mentions, and it was winter. That first of all, you see, in that very context, that's what happened spiritually in the very time now that Jesus was ministering, the last winter of his life before Calvary was before him. You find that there was a certain hardness that had come upon these people. You find it there in verse 20. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Another said, these not the words of one which has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And they'd come to a place after 3 years of ministry where people now were listening to the Lord, seeing the miracles, made the great statements, that they came, you see, that the very hardness of these people had come to such a state that even now they were questioning whether a demon would open the eyes of the blind, the irrationality of their thinking, where now Jesus came to do good and to help and to heal. And you know, the warmth of God's love had been shown to us in this world, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I can say to you this morning, it's the situation that the Lord Jesus Christ encountered. There wasn't anything that he was missed. When he came as a human being, he went through all the seasons of life. And one of those seasons he was now to be confronted was this, the very coldness and the hardness of the human heart, which was before then God, where people then come to a place where they cannot even receive the goodness and the kindness and the very love and the warmth of God's great affection towards us. I don't know, I think it's just that figure of speech, is it not? You have perhaps in your life, you say, how are people to you in work? And you say, well, I tell you what, I've got people in my neighborhood, people in my work, people around me. I tell you what they do. They give me that cold shoulder. And I know what it is. There's something there where they just were not receptive. And there's a hardness which deals with people's hearts. That's what we're like. That's what this world's like. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to minister, don't think for a moment that everybody was behind him and everybody was open to everything he had to say. There was a hardness in the hearts of individuals that they couldn't even receive that word of God. The Lord Jesus speaks of that, you know. He speaks of preaching the word in season and out of season. And when you're preaching that word out of season, do you know what it's like? It's like preaching, you see, on frosty ground in the bleak midwinter. A frosty wind made moan. Earth stood hard as iron. Water like a stone. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he came. And as he became and given these little seeds of that word, he said, you know what the seed is like? Some seed falls on hard ground, hard ground. And we're living in days, are we not, where there's a hardness through the wonderful gospel that we've known, where God's light shone upon us. And it's like this, you see. This is not fanciful. When you come to this chapter in chapter 10, there's now a divide within this very book of John. You can divide it into two. After this very moment, it's only Calvary before him. The summer is ended. The harvest is over. And we're still not saved. And winter has come. And not only that, is it not? You can say that is it not winter because of the darkness, like I mentioned. He says the light you have with you now in this chapter will only be for a short while. And as winter comes in, we're in that season, are we not? And we know of those days which are shortening. And we know the darkness crouches near. And we know that in a natural sphere. But so it was, you see, it was winter. They didn't realize it. They didn't realize now the season they were going to enter. That as the Lord Jesus Christ was coming to preach here at this very time, in this very place, there was a darkness now which was upon their eyes. I don't know if that's you this morning. You may have known what it is in your life to have had the gospel from a little child. You may have known of the light of Jesus Christ. I know this, whenever Jesus Christ is in your life, it's never winter. It's never winter. When Jesus Christ comes into your life, it's only ever spring and it's only ever summer. But you know, there are people, they've sat under the word of God and they don't realize the season they're in. And they don't realize that the days are shortening. And your day is shortening. And I say, where are you today? Do you know what it's like? This is where we are now, society. Things have gone dark. Do you know the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen all around us? But what we've done is that we've stamped out the very things of God's light. And our foolish hearts have become darkened. And if I said, what's it like in your heart? I tell you what it's like. It's like winter. Like winter. And there's a darkness which is in there. And you can't come and perceive and see and know the very things of God's gospel. And you've had it for so long, but now you don't understand. There's a new season and it only ever gets darker. And that's what happened, you see, as they come to these very verses. Does he have a demon? Can he open the eyes of the blind? Hey, who is this man? He's mad. And now you can't even see the beauty and the virtue and the splendor or anything about him. And then can I say to you, you know, it's winter because of the hostile nature now which he's encountering. Now we know that naturally speaking, he's in Solomon's porch. The reason he's there because there's a covering and he's ministering and it is the rainy season. And everyone who knows what it's like, you know, you remember the good old days when you had to dress up to go out on a winter's kind of day. The environment is changing. But you know what it was like. You've got to face those elements. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes at this point, things are changing. And now things are becoming more hostile. And now you see the enemy is now coming and crouching near. And they're opposing him. And they're openly antagonizing. And not only that, it's coming to that point only a few months away where even those which are with him, even his friends, they'll desert him. And he's going to know of all that it is to be in this world, to be utterly opposed to the very things. This world's opposed to God, to the things of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ was to confront all that. And as now he stands here, and as it is that the harvest is over, the summer is ended, and it was winter with these people. And it was still unsaved. But that was the first reason, I believe, that that describes the spiritual actual aspect of this account that is highlighted to us of where Jesus came. And it was never just the sun was on his back or the wind was behind him. He confronted, when he came to this world, all that was before us, in all the hostility, in all the hardness, in all the coldness, all the indifference. He ministered and went through that. But can I say to you also now, this highlights something to us here about the very faithfulness of God. He does, it really does. That there is this word now which was not needed to be in. It's one of those words that if you were an English teacher and you were marking an essay, you know, for someone in school, you say, look, this word is pointless being here. It was the Feast of Dedication. We know it's winter. Well, you know, why do you add that in? But you want to make a point, don't you? And now I like to say that this point was added because of this, that it describes something here in the very life of what Jesus did. Now, if you know Jesus Christ, I tell you, there's something about Jesus that you always want to know more about him. You want to know everything about him. Don't you want to know what he did? Don't you know where he went? Do you want to know what he said? Do you know when he did it? When you come to know Jesus, every little point about him is fascinating and thrilling. And the very fact now that you find him here during the winter season, teaching now these people under Solomon's porch, is now a revelation to us, not only of the condition of our human nature, but listen to this, it's a great revelation to us of the very nature of the faithfulness of God to us. You sing a hymn. We haven't sung it this morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they change not, as thou forever will be. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest. And there's that mark within that very hymn that it's not just you see in summer, but in winter. Let me ask you this question. In your life, when have you known the goodness and the faithfulness of God? At what moments and what time? And I'll say to you, I'll tell you, when I've known of the faithfulness and commitment of God to me, has actually not been in those times of summer or spring, but it's been in the dark times, and the hard times, and the troubling times. And at those times, you know, I've come to know something of the very God who is with me during the seasons of my life, of the great hardness and hardship. No, please mark this point, because there is something that you can know about God in his faithfulness towards you. And it was winter. And one of the things that you see, so I'm told, in Genesis chapter, you know, in that book, that's the first time the word winter is used. You know what it's used for? When after the flood, God promised, you see, God promised that he would never flood the earth again, but the earth would have its seasons. And you know, the very fact that we have a winter is actually a great demonstration to the promise and faithfulness of God to this world in which we live. And you need it. And you need it. If you know anything about the growth of flowers and of trees and of food and of growth, do you see, you need a winter. Trees will not bear fruit if you don't have a winter. And actually, shall I say something? You need a winter because you say it yourself. Do you know what we need this year? We need one of those old winters. Kills off all the germs. You know, get rid of these things. That's the problem we've got. We haven't got the same old kind of weather we had years ago. Now, it's a fact of life and of nature that you need, you see, those cold spells. And the very fact that God has given that in this world in which we live is a wonderful testimony to the promise and faithfulness of God to us. Mark that. But it's also, is it not, can I say to you spiritually as a church, isn't it wonderful that you read here that in this very season, the Lord Jesus Christ was active in his ministry. And if I asked you, well, what's it like in church these days? Well, I'll tell you what it's like. It's like winter. No, it really is. In this land of Wales, This is what it's like. Wherever you go, little fruit, little harvest. No harvest in some places. And you know, things are not easy, is it? We're living in a society which is now darkness crouching near. We're living in times where hostility is around us. And yet, you see, is it not that God this day, he comes to his church, and to be honest with you, in the life of the church, you know, God is looking for fruit. He's looking for something from you this morning. Shall I tell you what he's looking for? He's looking for that fruit of the Spirit, of love, and of joy, and of peace. And you know, he comes into his church every Sunday morning. He does, he's with his people. And you know, no matter if we're only a few, I don't care how few you can be, I know this, God wants his fruit from his people. And he expects us to praise him and glorify him and love him and to show something of that joy and give him that fruit which is due unto his name. And yet, you know, I can say to you in this, I'll be honest with you, sometimes there's been little fruit of joy, of love, and of peace. But you know something? He still comes. He still comes. And even though we may not have been like those days in the past where there's been then great fruit and life has been born and people are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know something? He doesn't leave his church because it's winter and things are difficult and things are not right. I can tell you this is where he's found. And I could say to you the wonderful truth is this, that his love doesn't change. What he does here, in the very fact that you find him there, is a demonstration, let me say to you, of the faithfulness of God in the difficulties and times which are hard and not good, that the Lord Jesus Christ would minister and then be found there. These things reveal Christ to us. These miracles reveal his power. His dealings with people reveal his love. The fact that he's found at this post, that he's committed. Now, look, this is actually the revelation, you see. I'm telling you that God is faithful today because of this. Not because of nature around us and it's winter. There's a testimony there. I'm telling you now, look, it's like this. Not only that God is faithful and committed to us, even in these times, because we know that when we come together, he doesn't leave us. But because of this, the very revelation of Jesus Christ, of Jesus Christ. This is where he is. He's committed in this world to human beings through all the seasons of life. Let me describe it like this. I don't know, have you ever met one of those, real passionate, you know, Welsh men, Welsh women, you know, the ones which really love Wales. Have you ever met one of those? You know, I mean the one who talks to you about the land of their fathers. Have you met one of those? Have you met, you know, the real Welsh person who's got the hiraeth, man? Have they got the hiraeth? And they got the longing for this land. Have you ever met one of those Welsh, you know, kind of people? They sing that, you know, those anthems, and that's the anthem, and they sing it, and they know. Have you ever met one of those Welsh people, you know, passionate, can tell you of all the legends, and can tell you of all the history, and they know something about Wales? Oh, I tell you, have you ever met one of those people? Have you ever met those one of them? I've met them. Do you know where they are in winter? Spain. Don't like the weather. That's where they are. And you know, they love everything about Wales, don't they? And they love it, committed, talk about it. And at the end of the day, you see, as soon as those seasons come, I tell you, I'm off there, it's a bit too cold. And there it is. But the Lord Jesus Christ, look at him now. Here he is. He's committed to this world with all of its problems, all of its darkness, all of its hardness. Where do you find him? You find him here, and he's ministering in the last season of his life. I'm telling you, that he speaks to you of the faithfulness of God. Can I tell you something else? It speaks to us then of our human nature. This speaks to us this morning, listen to this, of the proclamation and the victory of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ in his ministry. I'm not making this up. You just don't know how to write a newspaper. And you don't know how to write good news. And when the Holy Spirit came and penned this wonderful book, and you say to me that every word is inspired, that when you see in the very heart of God the Father, and he sent his Son into this world, and then he sent his Holy Spirit that he should come and write of what took place in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I want you to pen this word. Winter, winter. Don't miss it about. Don't miss it out. Because this is going to reveal to us something of the sheer magnitude. And it's going to give that glory to his Son, in whom he was well pleased, of all that he has done, in everything that he's achieved. That what he came to do in this world was not with the sun on his face and the wind behind his back. Ah, but it was in this season. You'd need to know how to pen news. Good news. It was highlighted to me a number of months ago. Perhaps some of you heard of in Pembrokeshire every year for the last number of years. We've had the Iron Man. The Iron Man. Don't want to offend anybody, call it the stupid man. Perhaps you've been on it, but there we are. You know, and what they do is this, is that they actually swim. It was in September, and they swim out to Caldy, and they come back, and they do a bike ride, and it's 100 and something miles on the bike. And then after that, you do the run. It goes on like that. And on the following Friday, in Narberth, the local newspaper comes out, and there's a headline, you know, just outside, you know, someone's written on the headline for that particular week. And this is what it said about then the Iron Man. The Iron Man. Here's the newspaper article, front page. Iron Man. Weather. Biblical proportions. Biblical proportions. That this year, there had a little rain. And on that little rain, you see, whoever came and won that company, it was under biblical proportions. They endured it all. They came and they overcame. They did all that. And now you see, they want to know that it wasn't just, you see, a nice, wonderful day. But this is what triumphed. I want to tell you, but not the Iron Man, the last man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord God says, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. And when he came to this earth, do you know what he did? He overcame it all. That's what he did. And he did it at those times, in this period, and against all that hostility, and he came and he triumphed and he did that great and wonderful work. I tell you, the Lord God doesn't want this to be missed out in any way. It was a number of months ago, I think it was August, I was in Llansteffan, and I was at the grave, and there was a woman who was at the grave, and she told me this story. She's in her 80s, and she began to tell me of the person who was buried in this particular grave. And this is what she said. She said, this man, he was a soldier. He'd been a soldier in the Second World War, but he was out in the, you know, Far East. And the war in the Far East, as you know, lasted a year longer than it did in Europe. And in the Far East, he was posted out there as a young man. And what happened at the end of the war is that he contracted a tropical disease. And of that tropical disease, he was to die. There was no cure for that disease. And what happened was that the army decided that they would send him home from then the Far East, and he would be sent home to die. But by the time he came home to die, it was 1947. And some of you perhaps can remember the winter of 1947. And she said, well, what happened was this, is that they brought him home, but they could only bring him as far as Carmarthen. There were no trains further on. And the village of Llansteffan, she said, had been cut off for weeks. Weeks, you can't imagine it. But cut off for weeks in those days, no one could go in, no one could go out. There were no mobile phones in those days. There was only perhaps one phone in the village, and that was actually in the police station. And what happened was that news had come that this man had arrived in Carmarthen. And the people, they didn't know what to do. But what they did was a few men got together, and there was just a small number of them. And they decided one day to make the journey to Carmarthen, 9 miles across the fields it would be, find a path, couldn't have been easy, couldn't be done, as you know. To walk 9 miles, to walk 20 miles in a day, that's kind of normal in those kind of years. But over the snow and over the fields, that was another question. So a group of young men, they went off, and she said, I remember it, she said. And we waited all day in the village for these men to return. And she said, you know, at the end of the day, the sun was going down. I can remember, she said, the colour of the sun against then the white snow. It was pink, she said. And we were waiting on the hill, just watching out. And as the sun was setting, she said these words, she said, and then I saw him. It was my father, she said. I knew it was my father because he was the policeman. And I knew his cape. And he was leading the men home. As they carried this young man home to die. And she said, you know, I felt so proud of him when I saw him bringing this young man home to die. I can't help but just think of the God in heaven who, when he saw his son, Jesus Christ the Lord, and he came to this earth and the sky wasn't pink, but it was red with his blood. And the people that he brought back, not to die, but to live in heaven. He said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. And he's proud of him. And a lost humanity, lost in darkness, lost in sin, lost in death. He came from heaven. And you know something? It was winter. He said, I want you to mark it in. It was winter when they laid him in a manger. And they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And it was winter when he ran to Egypt because they wanted to kill him and destroy him. And it was winter in Nazareth when he came and they went to throw him over the cliff. And it was winter in every synagogue that he went to and the hostility and the hatred. And it was winter when he went to Calvary and the darkness came. And it was cold in the grave and it was winter. And God says, you know, that was what it was. And I want to tell you that my son, the Lord Jesus, I'm proud of him. He comes and he brings this great humanity, a lost humanity. And he brings them home as white as snow, as white as snow. I'm telling you this morning, I don't know what it's like in your heart, but it may be as cold as winter. No matter what I say to you this morning, no matter what's been preached to you over the years, no matter how many times, listen, the love of God has been shown to you. The very love and purposes of God for your life and for eternity. There's not anything that moves you. Anything that moves you. The summer is ended. The harvest is over. You're still not saved. And you've seen them gathered in. Your friends and your family. And your children, and your brother, and your sister. And they've come and they've accepted Jesus Christ. And now you see it's winter. I don't know what it's like in your heart, in your soul. And there's a darkness that one feels, and you know of that. And oh, look, I'm saying to you, look, this very day, there are certain seasons that we go through. You need to recognize the season that you may be in. You need to do something this morning and realize that God is faithful. And once again, this very day, as hard as you've been, as dark as your life may be, as hostile to the things of Jesus and God, God in his love and his faithfulness says, oh, look, my son has come. He's come to take all who believe in him home to glory. He's taken them home to live and to be with him. And he's come and he's achieved that. And he's done it. That he's faithful to you today and he calls to you once again. You know, you need to come, all of us. We need to rejoice in that, don't we? That's great news. For what Jesus Christ did and when he did it, and what he overcame, and all that he went through, his only begotten son, that he could come and take us home. It was winter. And I want you to mark that down and underline that. And he warmed your heart, and he drew you to himself, and he's drawn you home, and he's brought you to him.